At the top of our program today, on Thursday, the 2015 harvest is all wrapped up in Michigan, but that doesn't mean farmers across the state are settling down for a long winter's nap. Hundreds of producers have been meeting this week in Grand Rapids for the Michigan Farm Bureau's annual policy meeting. They're looking to the challenges and opportunities that lay ahead for agriculture in 2016. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now with more. Kevin, what's on farmers' minds this year?
Mark, it really is a mix of old and new issues. Farmers are anxiously waiting for a new energy policy to emerge from the legislature. They're watching the skies, too, and not just for rain. Drones are a hot topic this year. Some farmers are using them to survey their crops. Some are worried about their property rights, other people using drones. But perhaps the biggest concern right now is the EPA's new rules governing water. So I spoke with Chris Wardeen. He's a dairy farmer from Clinton County. He also serves on the Michigan Farm Bureau Policy Development Committee. And he says farmers don't like the bureaucracy the new federal water regulations will impose.
The permitting is one big aspect of it, is just getting permission to do some things on your own land that do not seem like big deals. And you talk about waterways, which certainly is conclusive, but it also has to do with things even smaller than that. Drainage ditches or even depressions in your ground that, to level out a field even. If that depression in the ground can hold water, that could be under the current law deemed a water of the U.S. And so they could go to the permitting process all the way down to just leveling out land to try to just get rid of a pothole in the ground, so to speak. And so it's a real big overreach in terms of impeding what we do on our own land every day to try to do normal farming activities.
Earlier, we had as a guest on our program, Laura Campbell from your organization. She was talking about even activities like integrated pest management, applying pesticide exactly where you need it, when you need it, in the right amount that you need. And that's a very time-sensitive situation. And the example she gave was if you have to give a permit for something like that, it could completely throw off the cycle. The bugs could have their way with your field and you've missed the opportunity.
Right, and that's really what agriculture is all about. The timeliness of just about everything we do. Not only is it weather related, from a heat, temperature, wind, precipitation, all those things basically limit our ability to do things whenever we want to do them. We do those activities when the Mother Nature lets us do them. And so, if you're waiting on a permit or you're waiting on somebody else to tell you what you can or can't do, that could pretty much be the loss of the whole year's crop if you hit it at the wrong time.
Energy policy is also a hot topic right now, and the state is trying to craft a long-term strategy. There's a couple of bills that are moving through the legislature now. What are you and your fellow farmers looking for in an energy policy? What would be most beneficial for you?
Well, I think one of the key topics with that with farmers is that our energy needs not only are great in terms of the amount of energy that we use, a lot of different activities that we do, such as grain drying or, milking cows, for example, is near and dear to me. Those things go around the clock and they use a lot of energy. So availability of energy, reliability of energy, and, of course, affordability are probably the three big issues. And just looking at those three things, also with the fact that we have renewable energy policies on the books, some of which are a lot of our farmer members have taken a lot of advantage of, but how do all those things fit together to basically boil down to energy that is reliable, affordable, and available for doing all the things we need to do on the farm?
And we should point out, too, that this coming spring in April, I believe, 9 coal-fired power plants in Michigan are set to retire. So you mentioned renewables, yet we still have a great dependence in Michigan and in the country on fossil fuels. And I imagine that's also on the minds of farmers.
Definitely so, because you talk about, if we have to go out in the open market and buy power from other states, it's kind of a riskier endeavor than what we've had. Even if those plants aren't going all the time, it's like something that was a sort of a safety blanket for our energy here in the state. So there is a little bit of uneasiness, I would say, over how that's all going to play out. And, certainly we don't have all the answers here either. We're just trying to steer our policy to to make sure legislators know kind of what those needs are and what's important to us, and hopefully we can work together to figure something out to kind of fill that void that's going to be left.
Chris, you're a dairy farmer, and I know that there are some dairy farms that are installing methane conversion systems, methane to electricity, because there's a lot of cows there that produce methane. This is affectionately called poop to power. Is that something you've thought of on your farm?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we're always exploring new technologies and what would work. I think the methane digestion is something that, to this point anyway, is economy of scale is a huge advantage, and the more cows you have, the more manure you have, and the more energy you can produce, and it kind of makes that whole system a little more feasible. So in our operation, we milk about 400 cows. Probably wouldn't be able to cash flow at the current technology, but Michigan State University's got a project at their dairy that, you know, they milk 150 cows, and they're trying to basically prove and improve the technology to bring that to farms that are a little bit smaller, and going into the future, make that a feasible way to get reliable, affordable power off of a dairy.
We're talking with Chris Wardeen. He is a dairy farmer from Clinton County. He serves on the Michigan Farm Bureau's Policy Development Committee, and he's talking with us from Grand Rapids, where the Farm Bureau is having its annual meeting. Drones are an issue that's being talked about at your meeting this week. They are in the hands of many people now. It's a much more expanded industry, both for recreation and as a business. What's the concern among farmers? Are farmers using them to survey their own crops, or are you more concerned about somebody else bringing their drone over your field?
Yeah, it's very interesting you say that, because the answer is both. I believe farmers, especially some of the younger farmers, are really into the technology, and they're very excited about all the true uses that really are beneficial to agriculture. And so they're trying to explore and already have been using drones for taking pictures of fields, looking for yield deficiencies, what went wrong in a part of a field as that crop is growing. There really are unlimited uses, really, pro-agriculture to help us with our operations. At the same time, most of us own a decent amount of land, and those private property rights and trespassing and some of the safety concerns are also at the forefront of farmers' minds. So that's kind of what we were doing, and that's a pretty much a brand new policy for the Farm Bureau in our book, is this concept of the technology that's pretty new, but the affordability has certainly put that technology in a lot of people's hands already, and so we're just trying to kind of not really get ahead of it, but at least keep up with the fact that a lot of these things are going to be out there, and we want to make sure to be able to use them for our own operations as beneficial technologies, but we also don't want to lose all the private property rights that we do have.
Sure, and I can see, in addition to your property rights concerns, safety. These are propellers that are spinning at a high rate of speed, and not just that, but these drones are collecting data, and if it's someone else's drone, not yours, there's some proprietary information perhaps about what's in your field that could be a concern.
Definitely so. And, you know, you bring up the safety aspect of it. Another thing, you know, and again, we have a lot of livestock, is, you know, what's preventing them from flying through your barns, and the animals aren't exactly going to look at that thing as a normal bird or something else that's going to be normally in a barn. So there really are a lot of just off-the-wall things that I think a lot of people just haven't thought of yet.
We're talking with Chris Wardeen. He's a dairy farmer from Clinton County. He's on the Michigan Farm Bureau's Policy Development Committee. Migrant labor is a perennial issue, especially on the western part of the state where we grow lots of fruit. Looking for and retaining migrant labor at planting and harvest time is a main concern. Is that being talked about this week as well?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's always on the forefront of everybody's mind, because it's an ongoing problem. And you mentioned the dairies as well. I mean, there are a big number of migrant employees on dairy farms across the state and across the country. But it's like you say, the H-2A program isn't necessarily applicable, because we're not seasonal. You know, our labor demands are year-round. But even with the fruit and vegetable, the seasonal type labor, that's been a huge issue, and there's a lot of wasted crop that that goes unpicked or unharvested if you don't have the labor. So it's definitely, it's been in the policy for a long time. I would say this year we haven't changed a lot on our policy, but the Farm Bureau actually created a whole other division to the company to try to assist farmers in securing labor, making sure the labor that they are hiring is legal. And so it's something that Farm Bureau as a company is working on as much as ever. And the policy, I guess, has sort of reflected those needs over the years. There was not a lot of changes to that policy now, but that doesn't mean that the labor shortages and the challenges have changed, because I think for most farmers, they tell you the challenge is still there and maybe as great as ever.
So as you and your colleagues are crafting policy for the coming year, Chris, will consumers in 2016 and beyond see any real noticeable changes?
Yeah, I think you definitely will. I mean, everything that we do here is you know, to protect and to try to do what we do every day more efficiently and effectively. We're always working to try to communicate to the public that a lot of the concerns and the wants that they have as consumers are the same ones we have as producers. And so everything we do here is to try to not only make our own businesses more efficient and effective, but to make sure that the consumer knows that we share a lot of the same values in everything that we do, too.
Chris Wardeen is from Clinton County. He's a dairy farmer, and he is also on the Michigan Farm Bureau's Policy Development Committee. He and his fellow farmers are in Grand Rapids this week at their annual meeting, where they are discussing and setting their farm policy for 2016. Chris, good luck to you, and thanks a lot for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Anytime. I enjoyed it.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Labrie.